And welcome back. St. Louis is home to a remarkable, even inspiring woman who redefined the term victor. She defeated addictions and a death sentence from cancer, putting all that behind her to compete as a marathon runner and in the most grueling of all athletic competitions, the Ironman Triathlon. She's Terry Grieg. Terry happens to be the honorary chair for an event next Monday to raise money for Siteman Cancer Center research. I'll have more on that a little bit later. Terry Grieg tells her story in her book, by the way, Powered by Hope, and she joins me in studio. Terry, it's so nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We want to tell a little bit of your story and let people read the book to get most of it. But you really got off on the wrong track, I should say, fairly early, didn't you?
Yes. So in high school, I actually started drinking quite a bit. And by the time I was about 20, I had decided I probably had a problem with alcohol and went to treatment for the first time then.
And everything then should have been fine, but it wasn't.
You know, that's part of my story is really on the outside, everything really did look fine. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, I had a discontentment that I just couldn't really figure it out. And I self-medicated by drinking a lot. But I ended up getting through school. And today, I'm proud to say that I have 21 years of continuous sobriety.
But you've had other problems along the way.
I have.
Problems that are obviously most serious. Tell us about that. When did you discover that you had cancer?
So in 2009, I was training for my second Ironman event, and I started having some symptoms. I started having some bleeding. I thought it was maybe hemorrhoids or things. I was tired. I thought I was overtraining. I would get sick and couldn't quite get over it. I had a foot injury. And when I did the Ironman in the end of August of 2009, I had said while I was having these symptoms, if I don't feel better, being I was a nurse for 20 years, German and stubborn, and I thought, well, if I don't feel better at the end of this race, I'll go see a doctor. So 2 weeks after that race, which was mid-September of 2009, I called a gastroenterologist and had a colonoscopy at age 48.
You know, how does one train for such a grueling event with symptoms such as you describe and feeling poorly?
Well, maybe ignorance is bliss.
I can vouch for that.
Okay. Determination. I had done an Ironman the year before, and my goal was to qualify for the world championship. In 2008, I had just missed qualifying by a few minutes, and I was... First of all, an Ironman is a triathlon. A triathlon is a three-sport event, swim, bike, run. And the Ironman being the longest distance, it's a 2.4-mile open water swim, 112-mile bike, and then the run is a marathon, 26.2-mile run. People say, oh, you mean you do one of those a day? And so, no, it's all back-to-back in one day. So in 2008, I had almost qualified for what we know is the world championship in Kona, Hawaii. And so I was determined to go back a year later and do my best. And so I really kind of trained through that. And when you think about doing a triathlon and an Ironman, you think about the three disciplines, the swim, bike, run. But it's really a fourth discipline, and that's training your brain. I mean, it's about persevering. It's about overcoming pain. It's about that never, ever give up, which today has paid off for me in this next journey that I've been in, this cancer journey.
Do you think that somehow your prowess and abilities as an athlete and your persistence in sticking with it has helped you in your fight against cancer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How?
Well, for many of the reasons and characteristics I just mentioned. Yeah. But also, so the resiliency, the perseverance, the learning how to deal with the pain, but also with my being in recovery in the 12 steps, there's lots of – 12 steps are really a great outline for living, and there's lots of little tools and keys and lessons in there, like one day at a time, which is probably instrumental in helping me deal the most with anything that I go through, but especially this cancer journey, because I don't look – of course, I realize what's down the road, but – but I just take today. It's not too big of a piece to handle. I mean, I can probably get through just about anything today. So that's probably one of the best tools that I like to use.
And after the diagnosis and after treatment, you continued with training.
I did. And actually, Don, I'm still stage 4 colorectal cancer. I was diagnosed in 09, in September of 09. I had radiation chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. I had a lung, liver and colon resection and finished up major chemo. And since then, I've been placed on what we call today maintenance chemotherapy. So I think it's important to know for the listeners that today cancer can be a chronic disease. So I have a chronic disease and I remain on chemotherapy 1 week on, 1 week off. But since then, I've had lung resections, and actually a few weeks ago I had some liver metastatic spots that were frozen. But I've continued to train. I've continued to race. I've been able to complete the 6 major marathons around the world. I was chosen to be the 2011 NBC Inspirational Athlete on television, if you see the program on television. And I've also gotten to go do the World Half Ironman Championship in 2013 and 14. And then I just get out there and do races for fun, to participate, to be an example. And really, because it's one of my passions and I love to do it, and I feel blessed to still be able to be out there.
Through Sidemen, are you working with other cancer patients now?
Well, I have started a foundation called poweredbyhope.org. You can look it up on the internet.
We'll put a link to it on our website,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, great. That'd be perfect. And so what it is I, being an endurance athlete, I feel like when you hear the words, you have cancer, you've entered the greatest race of your life. And people undergoing treatment, we all have our ups and downs. And so I came up with this idea of a medal. I think everybody loves, in the athletic world, we call it hardware, when you cross the finish line and you get that finisher's medal. So it's a medal. It says Powered by Hope. It has the cancer ribbon with all the colors of cancer in it, and this neck ribbon it's just beautiful. And we go in and present it to patients undergoing treatment. It's a survivor-to-survivor touch. And it's a symbol of hope. It's a reminder of their inner strength and their personal resolve. And then we have a coin of courage, too, that we give to them and the caregiver. And it's something that they can just carry with them. They know that they're not alone on this journey. And the foundation is dedicated, really, to providing hope, strength, peace, and education to cancer patients out there.
How do they react to you?
It's really when it happens, when we present that medal and we put it around their neck. It's a magical moment. You really cannot describe the energy, the love, the understanding that transpires when that medal is given to them.
One of the things I know that has sustained you through this time has been your faith. And that is an important component, is it not?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
How do you use that?
Well, I think I was prepared for my cancer journey because I was kind of questioning my faith about 2 years prior to my diagnosis. And I was led to go to a specific church. For some reason, I talked about discontentment as a young woman. And so I keep finding ways to help me deal with that and fill that. And my faith is, there's a saying, when you have faith, you have no fear. And that's probably been one of the greatest gifts also that I've had.
I'm sure one of the things that you've had to come to terms with, and certainly the people you're working with through your charitable foundation, is the issue of mortality. How do you approach that subject?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Well, because this is, I could get stuck on that, and I could get depressed, and I could get down, and I would be lying if I didn't say I had days like that. But really, Don, I mean, are any of us guaranteed tomorrow? I don't think so. And so I just pull myself back in and I say, look, we're really all on a level playing field here. There's no guarantee. For some reason, I always say that in my mind, I say, there's really no guarantee anybody's going to get home from the grocery store today. Mm. And that seems to bring some peace.
I'm not sure how level the playing field has been in your case, given the trials and tribulations you've had over the last 6 or 7 years.
I will say that I'm not grateful that I have cancer, but I am grateful for the blessings that it has brought me.
Family. How has your family react to all of this, the highs and the lows?
Well, unfortunately, part of my story is I was colorectal cancer, age 48. Screening starts at age 50. And I always like to talk about this a little bit because I think it's so important. Colon cancer is kind of the one cancer nobody really wants to discuss. So my sisters were in their early 60s and had not had colonoscopies. They both went 2 weeks after me. One had precancerous polyps, and my other sister was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. So the journey has not just been about my cancer journey. It's also included my sister who was diagnosed with the colon cancer. It's been trying. It has brought us closer together. We were always close before. And so it's brought its gifts, but it's brought its obstacles and difficulties, too.
And your husband and the kids, I mean, it's been an ordeal for them as well.
My husband is a rock. He is amazing. I am so blessed that I married the man that I married. And my kids are just wonderful, too. It's tough on them. In one of my interviews that was done on TV, I said, probably one of the hardest things a person would ever have to do in their life is to tell their child they have cancer. And, but, you know, a day at a time, they deal with it, and we talk about it, and, you know, hopefully we appreciate every day for what it brings us.
One of the more emotional moments in the book was that moment when you were telling your children that you had to deal with this.
And when I heard that the cancer had metastasized to my liver, my first vision, and this was on a phone call, unfortunately, and the first vision was of my daughter being married in her beautiful wedding dress and her gown and veil, and I could see my sister standing to the side of her telling her, if your mother was here today, she would want you to know. And they would be telling her all the things I would want to be there to tell my daughter. That was very, very difficult. But hopefully I'll be there.
Hopefully you will be.
Yes.
I have the feeling you will be, Terry.
You seem to
get what you want. Huh. Let's talk for a moment about Siteman. And that's, of course, where you underwent your treatment. And I should point out before time gets away that you're the honorary chair, as I did in the introduction, for the annual Sing for Siteman benefit concert. It's going to be held at 7:30 p.m. next Monday to raise money for cancer research at the Burroughs School in Ladue. We'll have that information on our website. What is this event like?
Well, as an athlete and not so much a person of the arts, I was a little hesitant when I went to my first Sing for Siteman event. It's opera singing. It is unbelievable. It is beautiful. And it has a way of drawing you in. Much of it is in English. And each of these singers have donated their time because they have somehow been touched by cancer in their lives. And so it's a fundraiser. They're not asking for any more money when you get there. It's to buy your ticket, sit there and enjoy, and it's an incredible experience.
Where are we? And perhaps this is not the right question for you, but where are we in terms of research these days? I'm sure you have some feeling for where we are and where we're going.
Well, I'm probably not the best one to answer that because it's not my area of expertise. But I do know that we are very blessed here in St. Louis to have Siteman and the researchers that we have here, and that they are getting very close on all different types of their projects. We hear a lot about immunotherapy recently and genomics testing and many things along that line. And so events like this are very important as far as this research goes. It's many times it's called seed money, and it gives the researchers, here in other places, but especially here in St. Louis at Siteman, some startup money to be able to do their work, and then therefore go and apply for the bigger money, the NCI money and other monies like that. So this seed money is so, so important to our researchers here.
During the course of your treatment, have you undergone any experimental therapies?
So actually, so far, I've been very fortunate, and I've responded very well to traditional treatment, to what they would assume would work. So I have not had to go that route yet. But as a cancer fighter, it gives me hope. It gives me strength. It gives me the will to want to continue knowing that they are so close and they have so many new options down the road.
And in fact, and this is a slight digression, you have actually performed some of your athletic events with your oncologist, have you not?
Well, my oncologist came to the World Championship Ironman in Kona, Hawaii, but he has participated in some 5Ks with me. And then also there's a bike race here in St. Louis called Pedal the Cause, which raises money for cancer research also. So he rides on my team.
What is next for you along these lines in terms of your athletic events?
Well, so I've decided I'm kind of really refocusing a lot of my energy to the foundation Powered by Hope and to giving back and doing things like Sing for Sightman, Pedal the Cause, and those types of events. As far as athletic-wise, I'll probably stick to now Olympic distance triathlons and then half marathons. Mm. So I think the next one, I'm going to take a group of women and go out to Las Vegas and do the half marathon out there in the fall.
And your husband runs with you as well.
He does. He has run the last, we joke, we say, oh, he'll only run internationally. So he ran the London marathon with me and the Tokyo marathon. And he's a great supporter.
But we should remind people, you mentioned the triathlon event, and you mentioned there are three events. How long is the marathon, for people who don't know? It's not to stroll in the park by any stretch of the imagination.
So a marathon is 26.2 miles, yes.
And with regard to the three events in the triathlon, the swimming event is how long?
For the Ironman, the swim is 2.4 miles. The biking is 112, and then a marathon, 26.2 miles.
All in one day.
All in one day, and that was in 2011 when I did the World Championship in Kona. I think I was the only athlete to ever do this while undergoing chemotherapy at the time.
Well, remarkable. I get tired just even talking about it, Terry Grieg. Thanks so much for being with us. You're going to be in Kirkwood tomorrow night also. I have a note here that you'll be the Northbound Treatment Services event.
Yes.
That's at 6 o'clock tomorrow at 333 South Kirkwood Road. So another event along with the Sing for Sightman event on Monday. Terry, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations to all you accomplished, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's it for us for today. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about ways to implement green practices to make homes more sustainable. Then we'll take a look at the role of prairies in the conservation of natural ecosystems and their importance for the next generation of biofuels. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.